take your Bible and come with me to the book of Daniel this morning. The book of Daniel. Can I encourage you, as Brian has said, to come out on Wednesday evening if you're free? It is good to see the numbers keeping up well, so please come out on Wednesday night. Having spent 2 weeks on biblical authority, we're moving on to look at the autonomy of the local church, and that's another one of the distinctives of the Baptist Church, so we're going to look at that, so please come along as we look at God's Word together. Now we're coming to Daniel chapter number 1. Hopefully it'll come up on the screen this morning as well. We're starting a new series over really the winter time looking at Daniel, and we're really going to call this series Against the Grain. And that's what we're going to look at over this next number of months. So Daniel chapter 1 is where we're coming to this morning. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, onto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Amen. And we know God will bless his word. Let's just pause and ask for God's help as we come to his word. Our Father, we want to thank you indeed that we can say, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that we have proved you in so many different scenarios of our life. And Father, as we come now to take up this new study, Lord, we need your help. We believe this to be the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. And Lord, as we have it on our knee, we don't want to just read it and listen to it, but we long to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit. We long to see lessons for our lives from this great man of God. And as we commence this study, may the Spirit of God be our teacher, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In summing up the book of Daniel, an American pastor once said, this book has it all. History, prophecy, politics, prayer, lions, statues, wild animals, a fiery furnace, dreams and visions, a king who thought he was a cow, incredible adventure, amazing escapes, angels, demons, detailed information about ancient history, and amazing prophecies about the end times. Without doubt, Daniel is a remarkable book. Yet sadly, it is a book that is often ignored by many believers. You see, people find Daniel daunting because of the prophecy that is found within it. They conclude that it's just too complicated. It's a book I'd rather not read. I don't have the intellect to understand it, and therefore I'll just bypass it. Which is unfortunate because prophecy is important. In fact, within this book alone, we find some of the most instrumental, important, and insightful prophecies concerning world history. However, leaving the prophetic nature of the book aside, this is also an exceptionally practical book, for it follows the lives of four young men who determine to go against the grain. Four young men who become older men, who end up leaving Judah, leaving their homeland and living in a foreign land, in the land of Babylon, which was the capital of idolatry. And that's the angle you and I are going to look at it on a Sunday morning. And probably in our study, we won't go past Daniel chapter 6. We're going to perhaps on a Wednesday night another time look at the prophetic aspects of the book of Daniel. But over the winter time, on a Sunday morning, we're going to look at the practical lessons we can learn from Daniel, who went against the grain in Babylon. You see, it's no secret that you and I today are living in a world that is increasingly existing as if God doesn't. We are living in a world where the current of compromise is trying to pull the Christian off his biblical course. We are living in a world that is increasingly piling on the pressure when it comes to defining social issues, making it even harder to take our stand for the Savior in the world in which we live. But when it comes to lessons on how to do that, how to stand up when we're told to sit down, how to speak up when we're told to shut up, Daniel is our go-to guide. This book is our go-to guide as we consider what it means to live against the grain. And if nothing else, this book will show us that no matter what the world says, we always have a choice. That choice, as Daniel will show us, may have consequences, but we always have a choice. Some people say, you know, my hands are tied. I can't live out my faith. That's not right. Certainly if we live out our faith, it may bring consequences. But Daniel shows us we always have a choice. We're going to consider this book this morning, not going out of our way to be deliberately divisive in how we live, but rather we're going to look at how to live grounded for God. How to be solid, steadfast, and sure. Now, as with any new series or study, it is vital we set this book in its context, and we're going to take a few weeks to do that. So these first few messages are going to be introductory. And today, the title of our message this morning is The Man and His Message. We're going to look at who Daniel is and the message he was sent with. Number one, Daniel the man. Daniel the man. Even though Daniel stands as one of God's great men, we actually know very little about him, other than what is revealed for us here in this book. That said, however, we do learn at least some things about his personality, his longevity, and his spirituality. So that's what we're going to look at first of all this morning. Number one, his personality. To say the least, Daniel's biographical details are scarce. Now, while through Jeremiah we know the kings under which Daniel grew up, we know nothing else of his prior life in Babylon. We know nothing of his childhood in Judah, the home in which he lived, the parents who raised him. However, it does seem that he had a very privileged start to life. You see, Daniel was one of the bright and brilliant Jewish boys whom Nebuchadnezzar carried off as part of the Babylonian exile. And he is included in that general description of verse number 4, being one of those children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I kind of like how the Amplified Bible renders that verse. It gives us a wonderful picture of who Daniel was. It says, young men without blemish and handsome in appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with intelligence and discernment, quick to understand, competent to stand in the presence of a king, and able to serve in the king's palace. That was what Daniel was. Some commentators even suggest, and I don't want to really endorse it because I can't be sure, but they suggest from verse number 3 that it was possible that Daniel may even have had some form of royal blood running through his veins, that he was from some kind of royal lineage. Now, whether or not that is the case, we don't know, but he did certainly come from a family of nobility. Daniel was among the cream of the crop. He was an exceptional young man, physically fit, good-looking, incredibly intelligent, capable of taking his place in the upper echelons of society, and above all, he was teachable. He would have no problem learning a new language and adapting to a new culture. Now, as we think about his personality, no doubt, growing up, Daniel's parents saw his potential. And like every parent, they naturally had great plans for their son. Perhaps they had him earmarked to be a great professor or a great physician or a great politician. He had the brains and the brilliance to be anything he wanted to be. He could have done anything. And no doubt his mom and dad had high hopes for him. Certainly they would never have envisaged him being carried off to a foreign country, growing up in a different culture, and ending up with an unusual career. You know, it's good for all of us to remember again this morning that the God we worship is a sovereign God. That while it is good to envisage plans for ourselves or for our children, ultimately we must always submit to both God's purpose and God's pathway. You see, the fact that Daniel was brought up in such a good home, the fact that he came from a good stock, the fact that he came with brains and brilliance and all of those things didn't exempt him from changes along the way. Even though his life was pretty sure, if he had been living in the world today, we would have said, you know, there's a man earmarked for to go to the best grammar school, and he's going to go to a brilliant university, and he's going to work in the top law firm or the top hospital, and he's going to be a great man, and his life is all mapped out for him. And yet God saw fit to do something different. God saw fit to employ his brains and his brilliance in a whole different atmosphere, whole different environment. And you know, as you and I this morning, in the world in which we live, in the homes in which we come from, we must ultimately submit to God's purpose, God's pathway, God's sovereignty, that the pathway that I have mapped out for my life or my children may not be the pathway that God has for them, that he has maybe different plans for them. And I know it's hard to do, but we have to let his will be done. For God's ways and God's paths for us, though at times painful, are always perfect. And when we submit to them, his purposes are fulfilled through us. And Daniel is proof of that. Allowing him to be carried off into Babylon was part of God's plan for the ages. Daniel was instrumental in prophesying many mighty things, including the exact time Messiah would come. Oh, I wonder, is there somebody here today? And you know, for so many years you were so settled. Settled in a previous church, settled in a previous job, settled in some other area of your life. Life was so settled, and then all of a sudden, like Daniel, you know, you had plans and purposes of what you were going to do, and you felt that you were going one direction, and then suddenly God has seen fit to move you on. I encourage you, beloved, this morning to submit to his sovereignty, seek his face for the plans. And you know, just where you are today doesn't mean that God can't use you, because if God could take a Jewish Hebrew boy and set him in the capital of idolatry and use him there, then God can use you too. It's about seeking his face and submitting to his will. Oh, we see his personality. Secondly, we see his longevity. If you look at verse number 21 of chapter 1, we didn't read it. It says that Daniel continued even on to the first year of King Cyrus. It's believed that Daniel could have been anywhere between 15 and 18 when he was taken captive into Babylon, carried off some 19 years before the city of Jerusalem fell. Being carried away in 606 BC, Daniel remarkably lived right throughout the entire 70-year exile. He lived onto the first year of King Cyrus, who of course was the man who passed the decree to allow the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild it. In fact, if you want to glance over to Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 1, we read of Daniel writing, "In the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true." So beginning life in Judah, Daniel lived the rest of his life, at least 70 years, in Babylon, this capital of idolatry. And remarkably, even after all of those years, as we have read in Daniel chapter 10, God was still using and speaking to Daniel. Isn't it remarkable that a man whose life had been turned upside down could have easily turned his back on God and said, "Lord, why have you brought me here? I'm finished with you. I'm not going to do anything more." Yet throughout his whole life in Babylon, when he became an old man, God was still speaking to him and through him. Now here's the challenge for you and I this morning. As we start this new book, maybe you already have subconsciously in your mind thought, you know, Daniel, that's a, That's a great book, Daniel. Great book for our young people. Can I just politely stop you there? It's not just a great book for our young people. It's a great book for every one of us. You see, Daniel didn't stay young. Oh yes, he started as a young man in Babylon. He'd done many great things for God as a young man. But here in chapter number 10, Daniel was still taking his stand at the end of life. And so there's lessons for all of us to learn. Sometimes we can think, you know, I'm home and dry, I'm settled enough and sure enough in my faith, and you know, I'm just going to coast the rest of my life into glory. No, no, in the world in which we live, we continue to take our stand until God sees fit to take us home. Daniel, surviving right throughout the exile, outlived the 34-year reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He saw the rise and fall of a further four monarchs after him. He saw Babylon at its highest brilliance, triumphant and conquering. But he also saw Babylon have its sudden catastrophic collapse and fall. He watched the mighty empire rise and fall. Living right throughout such a vital period of Jewish history, Daniel then forms an intrinsic link between the pre- and post-exile periods. Now, don't worry about all of that. We're going to look at that in a coming week, actually, the setting, what the city was like, what the conquest was like, what all these other captivity and things were like. But as such, Daniel stands as a monument to the enduring faithfulness of God. In his lifetime, he saw kingdoms rise and fall. He saw Babylon that looked almost unconquerable. Mighty Babylon. He saw it rise and fall. And yet he concluded, no change. Jehovah knows. Or as David penned so forcefully in Psalm 37, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And even though Daniel ended up living in a place he never intended, the Lord never forsook him. The Lord remained faithful. The Lord went with him and upheld him down through all those years of exile. And perhaps as you consider your life, I've visited folk and, you know, they say to me, Pastor, I remember years ago, I remember when this country was what it was, God-fearing Ulster. I remember mighty missions. I remember so on and so forth. And then they're in despair and they say, today it's no longer God-fearing Ulster, but Ulster has no fear for God. And you know, the world in which we live and the demise and the collapse. And I know we can get so caught up with the world around us and the failures and think, you know, it's not like the days of our fathers. But the thing is this, folks, God has never changed. Even though the world in which we live is changing, even though the nations rise and fall, God remains the same. God is unchanging. And you know, particularly for parents, it's worrying as we bring children into the world and we bring them up in the world and we wonder what kind of world is the future going to be. I don't know, but one thing I know is God is not just the God of this generation. He's the God of every generation. And that's why I have confidence bringing a child into the world, because I know that I have a God in heaven who changes not, and I can commit them unto Him. That regardless of the world in which we live, God never changes. God was still speaking to Daniel in chapter 10 as He was in Daniel chapter 1. Oh, we can look at His personality. We can look at His longevity, but thirdly, we can think of something about His spirituality. Now, we're going to look at this in a further day, but look at verse number 8, and we'll probably take a meeting just to look at it alone. But it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, for all that he was, and above all that he'd done as a prophet of God, Daniel was first a man of God. You see, spirituality precedes usability. And that's what I want you to see. Daniel was first a man of God. Yes, he was a mighty prophet of God, but he was a man of God. His spirituality preceded his usability. And it's so vitally important we remember that, that to be used by the Lord, we have to first be walking with the Lord. His name means God is my judge. And as such, Daniel lived out his name. He lived his life before the Lord and only for the Lord, serving only Him, living only to please Him, because at the end of the day, he understood it would be God alone who would judge his life. He wasn't going to be judged by King Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't going to be judged by anybody else. He was going to be judged by God alone. And as he lived, just much like what we've been considering about Paul, as he lived and moved among Babylon, he had to do what was right first by God, because God was his judge. What a challenge that is to your heart and mine. We aren't all called Daniel. But all of us are going to be judged by God. Judged for reward, not for retribution. And how we, if only we could grasp that and have the courage like Daniel dare to be a Daniel dare to stand alone. While we know nothing of his upbringing, it is evident that he was brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He had good and godly influences in his life, perhaps even, and we aren't told, but it's something we can think about, perhaps he even learned the power of private prayer from his parents. Perhaps he learned the importance of prayer, the need to daily be on his knees before the Lord. Perhaps he learned that at home. It certainly helped that Daniel grew up under the influence of a good and godly king in the person of Josiah. It is likely Josiah died when Daniel was barely into his teens. Nevertheless, during his childhood, Daniel would have witnessed the repair of the temple, the reform of worship, the rediscovery of the law, and the reinstatement of the Passover. Add to that the influence of Jeremiah, another one of God's great prophets who had been given the difficult task of prophesying about the coming days of exile. In fact, if you want to, in your own private reading, I encourage you to read through Daniel, but also start to read through Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was that prophet given the task of warning Israel of what was coming. In fact, when you go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, we find him pondering some words of Jeremiah. And no doubt both of these men were greatly shaping the spiritual life of Daniel. Oh, does it not go again to re-emphasize the importance of good influence, of influencing in our homes? You know, yes, to many extents, the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and so on, they can influence a great deal. But the greatest influences in a child's life are those who spend the most time with them. Parents. Grandparents. I wonder this morning, beloved, as we consider the influences that we are, as grandparents, as parents, as uncles, as aunties, as brothers, as sisters, are we influencing our children for good and for God? Are we showing them the value of prayer? The value of private devotion? I think I said this before one Sunday morning. Do our children see us going out to the prayer meeting and saying, there's Wednesday night, mummy or daddy's away to the prayer meeting? It's important. You see, they will learn a great deal about the priorities and the importance of spirituality from home. From the values we place on spending time in the Word of God, Daniel grew up under good spiritual influences. The influence of Jeremiah, the influence of Josiah, the influence of his parents. And it's vitally important we learn the importance of influence. Just like Joseph, regardless of where the path of life took him, it never took him away from his God. Yes, it took him away from his family. It took him away from his place of worship. It took him away from his culture. It took him away from his comfort zone. But we never read of Daniel straying from God. Simply, we could sum up, Daniel was a man of unwavering godliness. Daniel was a man of unwavering godliness. He's what we might call a consistent Christian, a steady saint. He wasn't someone tossed to and fro, carried about by any and every wind of doctrine. He was well grounded. He was well established in his faith. It's what we might say, he was a Christian with a safe pair of hands. He didn't get himself excited. He just lived out and out for God. You know, while there aren't many other references to Daniel in the Bible, Ezekiel does refer to him by name on three occasions in his prophecy, declaring him to be both a man of righteousness and a man of wisdom. We see that in the days of his youth, by his refusal to take the king's provision. Regardless of what everyone else was doing, Daniel dared to be different. He knew what he believed. He knew what was pleasing and not pleasing to God. He took his stand as a young man. But not just as a young man, as I've already said, in that famous episode later in his life where he was framed for praying three times daily and he was threatened with a lion's den, Daniel still didn't waver. Now, when you go to that chapter, by that stage, Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, I know we've seen it maybe in Sunday school pictures that he was still a young man, but by that stage, Daniel was an elderly man. When he was thrown into the lion's den, he could have been in his late 70s or early 80s, and it would have been easy just to lay down and roll over and said, you know what, just for the sake of handiness and ease of life, I'm just going to fit in. But in his late 70s and early 80s, he still went against the grain. Rather than giving up on a life of daily devotion and prayer and give in to an earthly king, Daniel remained steadfast in his daily practice. Daniel dared to be different, dared to go against the grain of the society in which he lived. He honored God first, and as a result, God always honored him. Did God honor him by giving him an easy life? No. God honored him, yes, he gave him an exalted life. But God always honored him. He put him into the lion's den so that he might deliver him from it. Daniel took his stand and the Lord miraculously preserved him when it came to not taking the king's meat. But here's the final thing I want to say this morning as we consider Daniel the man. Even when Daniel occupied positions of great power, when he rose through the ranks to the high administrative offices in Babylon, Sidlow Baxter says this, through it all, his faith remained simple, his heart humble, his character unblemished, and his godliness supreme. What a conclusion. That's the man Daniel. His faith remained simple, his heart remained humble, his character remained unblemished. And his godliness was supreme. Well, we haven't considered very much this morning, really. We've only considered the man. We haven't begun to look at his message, but even in the character. What a challenge about the life in which you and I are living for the Lord. Oh, may we dare in this week ahead, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to have a faith that is simple, a heart that is humble, a character that's unblemished, and a godliness that's supreme, that as we live and work in the world that may not agree with us, they would at least conclude that there's something different, that we live against the grain, and we live for the glory of God. That's where we're going to leave it today. Daniel the man, next time, God willing, we're going to pick it up there and we're going to look at Daniel and his message. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you for these great men of God, men of old times, Father, and these things are written for our learning. And Lord, we thank you for the man Daniel. Lord, we thank you for his example of godliness. Lord, we thank you for his heart, which was humble. Lord, we thank you for his steadfastness, Lord, in daily prayer, in daily devotion. Lord, and whether he was standing before the king or kneeling in private, he was living for you. And Father, we thank you that even though he was carried off into Babylon, even though his plans were changed, we thank you, Father, that he was still used, still dependent upon the Lord. And Father, we pray that his message would be applicable to our hearts, wherever life finds us today, whether young or old, whether settled or unsettled. Lord, may we submit to your ruling power, and Lord, be seeking to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.